to Let's Talk About Conflict. I'm your host, Lynn Nash, and today I want to talk about, does that make sense? Is that making sense? This expression that I find myself saying all the time in all parts of my life, but especially during a mediation session or when I'm teaching or when I'm mentoring someone one-on-one, I just find myself constantly saying, does that make sense? And it's my way of checking back in, right? It's my way to stop for a little bit and say, hey, are you hearing me the way I want to be heard? Does that make sense? And so am I trying to convey clearly? Yes. And am I trying to convey information that the people I'm working with can learn from it? Yes. But the question, does that make sense? I don't know. I don't know if that is the very best phraseology. So I got to thinking about this and I got to thinking about parenting. So parenting and being around small humans who are learning new things all day long, all day, every day. That's all they do. When you need to go to learn something, you need to check in. You need to make sure that making sense is happening. You have to take a risk. Frankly, it's a risk to have said whatever I'm saying and then say, does that make sense? I am risking by using that expression alone. But bottom line is, to learn something new, one has to take a risk. There has to be some sort of risk involved, whether it's time or energy or suspending disbelief. If you like the movies, everybody's going to take a little bit of a risk. So this is also where I'm reminded that I grew up snow skiing and always liked to ski and enjoyed so much the sport of it and have snow skied as an adult. But the last time I went skiing with my family, I literally couldn't do it anymore. I could not do it anymore, which is so ridiculous, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I went up to the top of the mountain and I got off the ski lift. No, I did not fall. I got off the ski lift and I stopped and I looked down and I'm like, I now have to throw myself by choice down this hill and control my fall as I go down and feel confident in my ability to do it, right? I mean, I have a skill knowledge about how to snow ski, but it had been a while and my brain is on overload going, I don't know, you should do this. I mean, because if something happens, then all these things are going to be a problem. And if you get injured, then all these things are going to be a problem. And what if you aren't really in control and you cause someone else to be hurt? And I mean, my brain was just on overload. So I bring up snow skiing because if you have been snow skiing, you recognize there is a certain amount of risk that you have to take on to do it. You have to be willing to do that. And you have to be willing to kind of throw yourself down a mountain. And it's really fun when you're in control and you feel secure and you feel confident in what you're doing. Throwing yourself down a mountain is a great thing to do. Loved it. But I have now reached a place in my life where I'm not sure that that is the best way for me to spend my time, and certainly not my vacation, much to my husband's chagrin because he really loves to snow ski. But that's okay. He can go with other people. The other thing about, you know, kind of that willingness to risk and willingness to fall is a story I like to share with people when I'm mentoring them or I'm in a teaching mode with them and they're really frustrated, right? The real F word in the world is frustrated, because frustration is kind of that same sensation as building a muscle. You have to micro tear that muscle so that you can build and you can grow. Right. So the story I like to use in that moment is about having a willingness to fall. Just talked about snow skiing and hurdling yourself off a hill, but you had to get up that hill in the first place. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a willingness to fall, not fail, fall. And here's the best part about it. You have already learned how to fall and recover. I'm going to say that again, just in case you didn't hear it, because it's really, really important. You have already learned how to fall and recover. Yes. And that is because you learned how to walk. Okay. We all agree. We talk about children. They're learning new things all the time. Do this, right? Babies are not born knowing how to walk. I think that's pretty universal, and folks know that child is born and cannot walk. Okay. They're pretty helpless when they arrive. Whether you've been a parent or not, babies are pretty helpless when they show up on this planet. And so we help them. We do all the things they need done for them. And so we make sure they're safe and they're fed and they're carried and they are put to bed and they're picked up and all those things. We do all those things because that's what you do for an infant. But then there is a place where they learn to start doing things on their own. And then there is a place where these babies, I'll use that word, start feeling really conflicted at having everything done for them. And they want to learn something new. They're ready for the next. And so they start moving those little bodies around and they figure out how to roll. And then they figure out how to scoot. And then they figure out how to crawl. And as a parent watching that, it's just amazing. It is absolutely amazing to watch a kid, a little, I can't do anything for myself, all of a sudden to start to figure these things out. And frankly, you don't really teach them how to do this. They kind of teach themselves by watching you. So they're rolling and then they're scooting and then they're crawling and it's really cute and they can't get that far that fast and everything's cool. But the really scary moment happens when they start to learn to walk. So babies learn to pull up to standing before they learn to walk. So in this moment of going from being in a flat, prone position to upright and on 2 feet, they're imitating their parents and standing because they have watched people around them stand on 2 feet. So they figure, hey, maybe I should try and get on my feet. And then they start pulling themselves up and they fall a lot. They fall a whole lot. And there are kids of a certain age that just all have bruises on their forehead. And no, it's not child abuse. They are probably just falling a whole lot because they're learning how to stand. And then they kind of figure that out. And then they might cruise, right? They're still holding on to something and figuring this walking thing out. And while they're doing all of that, every time they fall, they learn a little something and it's a learning experience. And so one of the coolest things that I learned along the way is that ultimately to walk on your own 2 feet, you have to fall forward while swinging one leg forward, and then the other leg swings forward to catch that fall. Okay, let me say this again. To walk on 2 feet, you go from holding balance on two to picking one foot up and swinging forward into a fall, landing, and the other foot comes forward and lands again. You have to willingly fall to walk. And the best part is we learn to catch ourselves when we fall. We fall all the time. We fall forward all the time. And we've been doing it since we were babies, right? It's fabulous. Do not be afraid of falling. You do it all day, every day. You already know how. You've already learned how to recover. So when you get into situations, this is called, let's talk about conflict. You get into a conflict situation and you're so afraid to fail, F-A-I-L, but you're also afraid to fall by making the first concession or making the first offer of solution or whatever it is, you're concerned that you will fall because you went there. Okay. It's okay. You know how to recover. You also know how to recover. This is a really great thing. And thinking about other parenting type activities, I read this really interesting study about peanut allergies. And my kids, at the age they are, my oldest son could have peanut butter anywhere, everywhere he went. My number two, she could have peanut butter through elementary school, and then it all started fading out. And then my number three and number four, it was like, peanut butter, are you insane? You can't have peanut butter at the elementary school. I mean, that was just my own personal experience with my own children and in a couple of states in public schools. So by the late 2000s, peanut allergies were on the rise. And so in an abundance of caution to protect those children who have an allergy, nuts turn into a really bad thing to do. Okay. So children are no longer given peanut butter and other nuts as snacks so that we can protect children with an allergy. Okay. The intent is great. Nobody is going to argue the intent on this. So what's interesting is that the findings for nut allergies in children continued to increase. So here we take steps and say, no, don't expose them. Don't let them into the schools. Don't have this around. But then the nut allergies are increasing. That doesn't really make sense to me. Okay. But I'm not a scientist, right? I'm just reading the study. In 2015, a study conducted by a group called LEAP, L-E-A-P, which stands for Learning Early About Peanut Allergies. orgy was conducted. Okay, so in this was in 2015, the study was conducted by the group called LEAP. And you can look this up. I'm not making this up. They did a study where they recruited a group of 640 infants who were at high risk for developing a peanut allergy. And they determined the high risk somewhere along the lines of if they had eczema or if they had a sibling that had an allergy already to peanuts, those sort of things. And so that's how they identified this group of 640 infants that they recruited. And half of the 640 infants were encouraged stay away from peanuts altogether, right? Do what's been instigated at this point in the schools and in a lot of households and no peanuts. Okay, stay away from it. The other half of these infants were given a very specific peanut snack that was developed by the group and given to the child three times a day. Okay, so exposure, non-exposure. Among the children that were deliberately exposed to peanut butter, only 3% ultimately developed an allergy. It's kind of interesting. Only 3%. Where in contrast, now this is 640. So 3% from the 320 that were exposed to peanuts, 17% of the protected children who had not had any nuts went on to show an allergic development to nuts, to peanuts. What does that mean? What does this, what does any of this have to do with conflict? All right, let me do this. Here's why it matters. Here's why we want to talk about, does that make sense? Number one, about learning to walk and falling. Falling is a part of your life just as much as conflict. We fall a little bit every time we walk and every time we move our bodies around, but we don't fall down to the ground anymore because we've learned the skill of how to catch our fall. So dealing with conflict is something we have to do every day. We have to do it, and we can embrace it as a part of our life, and we can internalize the ways that we're going to catch and try to quickly resolve these smaller conflicts that happen without ignoring them or overly panicking about them, right? We're going to accept there is a normal amount of fall in the process. That's number one. Number two, protecting ourselves from hard things isn't a foolproof method for not having hard things happen. I'm going to say that again. Protecting ourselves from really hard things is not a foolproof method for not having hard things happen. So just like the children who were not exposed to peanut butter, you might even see your conflicts, you're not exposing yourself or you're not willing to wade into it and you're trying to stay in the avoider camp. You might just even see your conflicts increase simply because you are not giving yourself the space to learn and develop the skills to work through conflict. Avoiders, I'm looking at you here. I really am. So does that make sense? I'm back to this phrase that I love, hate. I think I love it. Does it make sense? Does it make sense that we fall a little bit all the time? Yeah, it does. And does it make sense that protecting ourselves by trying not to do something may not in any way do anything but harm us even more? It's something to think about, folks. We're not going to be avoiders. We're going to address it. We're going to be willing to fall a little bit, and we're going to work on our conflict. So that was my thought for the week. Thank you so much for joining and listening. You can find us on letstalkaboutconflict.com. You can find us on Instagram at the same handle. And you can email at info@letstalkaboutconflict.com. Let us know what you want to hear about. Working on expanding out and bringing more people in the show. I know you guys had to love Kaylee Dunn. If you haven't heard the last episode, the one before this one, please go listen to it because she's amazing. And I'll get some more of my friends to come talk to you about conflict and the internal, external, and the willingness to fall and the willingness to be a little vulnerable and not overprotected of ourselves. Not to say that you should go out there and hurt yourself, but we do have to have a little bit more openness to get the job done. All right, so with that, we will see you down the road.